All right, so we are back with our interview, and we are at the place where Brother Zelos is about to tell us basically the sins that he saw inside the Hutterite community that he had grown up with, what he saw from God's word was wrong about it, and then the 9 points that he gave to the elders and the leaders as to why he was leaving there. This is the meat. This is the meat of this, the way I see it, because, like I said, we don't have angst against the Anabaptists. We don't have anything other than they're outside of the doctrines, the oracle, the truth, the gospel of God. And so this is the meat of this interview right here, of why he left, these points that he's going to bring up.
Yeah. So some of the points, a lot of the sins that you see would probably surprise you for people who call themselves a church. I'm just going to actually to probably show you some of the things that I was, the reason I actually even wrote this letter to them, the reason that it kind of all came to a head for me was there's a lot of sin among them. Let me just list off some of the things I wrote in the letter. And you know what? Not a single Hutterite I know of has ever tried to refute this and say, no, that's not true. This doesn't happen among us. Just for context, I have not met one Hutterite before or after who was able to or even tried to refute that this happens among the Hutterites.
That's a great point.
They admit that this is among them, and they don't even care about the truth of God enough that they would seriously consider the danger they're in being united to a supposed church that allows and has this inside of it without cutting it off and casting it from them as far as they can. So this is an excerpt from my letter. Because we do not teach living faith, but this dead religion, we have become not the church of the living God, a pillar and ground of truth, but a religious order that is full of iniquity and sin, with cursing, swearing, filthy talking, gossip, slander, backbiting, evil speaking of all manner, gluttony, drunkenness, lack of love toward one another, stealing, fornication and lustfulness, those not married acting with each other as if they were, spiritual adultery, loving the world and the things of the world, hypocrisy, loving a lie and not the truth of God, caring for those things of our own and turning from those poor and needy around us, gathering wealth on earth, living with debts, competing against our neighbor and against each other in all manner of evil and unrighteousness. And I could probably write a page twice as long about things like that that happen daily among the Hutterites.
Yeah, that right there, I'm glad you said that as an eyewitness testimony. That will open people's eyes, because whenever I go and I preach, and if I do witness to Anabaptists or street preach, everybody's always telling me, oh, they're peaceful, godly, holy people. Why are you here? And they have this outside facade. But like the Pharisees, they got a lot of sin within them.
Yeah, it's quite literally like whited sepulchres, where basically they try to whitewash the outside, but the inside is full of dead.
Amen.
Deadness, spiritual deadness, filthiness, corruptness. It's basically the entire system is not built like the Church of Christ. It's lording over each other. It's political, most of all. Even I didn't know the extent to which the politics influences even how ministers are chosen in the church, and not these days. They don't even choose ministers based on a holy lifestyle. It's to a large degree done based on politics.
Yeah, yeah.
But the 9 points that I called them out on, I kind of give a point and then a little bit elaborate on it. The first one I called them out again is that they don't teach living faith but dead religion. The Hutterites don't teach the biblical gospel the way we understand it, which is faith in Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, his shed blood. Him is the only way. They don't teach faith in Christ. They don't teach true repentance, forsaking your sins because of your faith in Christ. They don't teach being born again. They don't teach, well, they try to teach holiness and obedience, but it's only in the form of if you live obediently and righteously according not to the word of God but the Hutterite way of living holy and righteously, and they do teach enduring to the end, because you have to basically be a good Hutterite till the end of your life.
So they got 1 point of the gospel right partially, and it's still wrong because you got to be a Hutterite to get in. Oh, I get it.
Yeah, so first of all is they don't teach living faith but dead religion. They basically teach and say that the community is the way, and living in the community and holding the community in the ways of it, because they've got this idea, the Gemeinschaft, community, fellowship, however you translate that word. It's difficult to translate that one word in German. You need a paragraph in English. But it basically would mean communion, community, fellowship, the saints, the brotherhood, all of that meanings are encompassed in Gemeinschaft. That's what they call the church. And they see that Gemeinschaft, the church, was started at Pentecost by the Holy Spirit. And our forefathers 500 years ago, they started that again through the Holy Spirit. And if you go against that, you say anything against that, you forsake that, you are blaspheming and going against the Holy Spirit. That is the unforgivable sin.
Yeah.
And the pinnacle of Christianity is this community, what the Holy Spirit taught, what our forefathers showed us. This is the absolute height of Christianity. And as long as we keep this, they don't go that deep. That's me explaining the mindset. They don't go that deep. To them, it's just like, yeah, it's a community. It's the way of, it's the way God taught us to live, and that's it. That's yeah. about as deep as people can go. And as long as you live there and you hold the ways and you stay true to it, and you know everybody makes mistakes, but they have their ritual. I'll get into that later. It's one of the points I'm going to call out, the forgiveness of sins. You can get your sins, you can get them forgiven. But as long as you stay true to it and you keep fighting and upholding and being a true member and a useful member, who was, they got this phrase in German, Nutzbare Glieder, which is basically like they're useful members. Which basically means their work, they don't cause too much outward trouble, they make money for the community, they build it, the community can use them to do jobs. As long as you're part of that and you keep doing that, that's kind of the way to salvation.
Basically, as long as you're a Hutterite cog in their machine, you're going to be okay.
Yes, and that's why at this point I would say it's a cult.
Yeah.
It's a cult because it teaches that it is the way to salvation and not Christ. They do not lift up Christ crucified. They do not preach the biblical gospel. They teach dead religion and not a living faith. That was the first point I called them on.
Yeah, I wanted to say one thing before you go to your second point. My experience with Anabaptism, which is extensive over the years, from central Wisconsin, where we used to live, tons of them around, from central Missouri, where we moved and had a homestead, tons of them around. Now we are full-time van dwellers and street preach all over America, and we meet them all over the place. One of the biggest problems with the Anabaptists, Mennonite, Amish, German Baptist, Hutterite, they confuse this verse. Paul says, 2 Thess 2:15, keep the traditions I've handed down to you. And I meet men all the time that say, we are doing that. We're keeping the Anabaptist traditions. And I always have to remind them, those came along 1,500 years after Christ and Paul walked the earth and the Holy Spirit established the New Testament body. They're keeping the wrong traditions. Amen, brother?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And basically, because they hold to this view of what the church is, they don't separate from unbelievers. They don't put out from among them. They don't even have, very rarely if ever, have somebody join the church. They basically, you're born into it and you stay a part of it. And if you're an unbeliever, not an unbeliever, if you stay a part of the church, that's the pinnacle. If you ever leave this church because the church is their height and their goal, the church is the ark, then that's, you left your salvation.
So literally, real quick, you left the Hutterites, you and your wife, literally, they probably didn't tell you this, but the mindset is when you left the Hutterites, you have lost your salvation and you are hell-bound because you're no longer a Hutterite. Is that literally the mindset?
That is literally the mindset.
Wow.
We had somebody tell us, I don't care what Bible you read that from, you leaving the Hutterites was a sin.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's the mindset. It's yep. Basically, the Word of God is secondary to the community traditions. Again, this is an important part. If you understand Roman Catholicism, the mindset and the theology, you will understand the Hutterites, because they're basically Roman Catholics under a different name.
Yeah.
They've got the intercessory church, they've got the church for the means of salvation, they got everything. The similarities in there are too many to count.
Yeah. Well, I want to praise God that you, even as a young, new, born-again believer, when you finally left, I love that the gospel was your main point. You know, because a lot of people will pick at, you know, start with Christmas, they'll start with dress, and these are all valid issues, but I love that you built this on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was awesome.
The only thing I probably would have done different, if I, knowing what I know now, I would have put the biblical gospel in there. I called them out for not teaching the living faith but a dead religion.
Right.
At the time, I was still learning. I'll say that. I made some mistakes, but praise God. And so far, all of these points I would still hold to be valid.
Awesome. And lots of people will find this testing, find your website, and listen to these audios. They'll get the gospel, brother.
Hope so.
That's the whole goal that we're doing this.
The second point, and okay, the gospel and the second, there's three points that I give. And from these three points, I believe the entire How to Write system is corrupted based on these three points. The first one alone, the gospel, is the tree, what basically the tree and the root that bears the branches of all the corrupt fruit among the Hutterites. If you don't teach a biblical gospel, if you don't have the gospel right, I don't care who you are, how you live, what you try teaching. If you don't get the gospel right, nothing else is going to be right.
Amen.
The second point, and this was a big one. This was probably the one that told me if they're not willing to change this, regardless of anything they say, if they are not willing to change this, they are not a church by any stretch of the imagination anymore. And I'm glad God opened my eyes to this. The way they have corrupted forgiveness of sin.
Yeah.
They basically are, I had a long excerpt in my letter of what their own confession of faith teaches concerning forgiveness of sins. They basically turn forgiveness of sins, and they teach that the church has the keys through the Holy Spirit. These are the official teachings of the Hutterite Church, okay? The church has the keys through the Holy Spirit that if somebody is a sin and they put him out through the Spirit, the men don't do it. The Spirit does it. They just declare it according to the Spirit. This is from the Hutterite teachings, not me talking. That if you cut that member off and cast him out as leaven or something, he is cut off from the kingdom of God because he has sinned. He's cut off from Christ. The body of believers through the Holy Spirit has cut him off as unrepentant. And that if that person repents and comes back and shows fruits of repentance and the body accepts him back, then he basically, his sins are forgiven through his repentance and the body accepting him back into the kingdom of God. I will not agree with that anymore fully, but that's what they teach. And they basically corrupted that and made it an abomination, in my words, in the letter, that makes a mockery of sin. For the way they teach forgiveness of sins now is a ritual that basically, if you've done something wrong, while, and this is absurd, while you would be a drunk, getting drunk, they will not say anything to you. They will not rebuke you. They will not cut you off while you're doing your sin. Unless it's something extremely heinous that they would catch you in. But if you would come to your senses and say, you know, maybe I feel bad about this, it's wrong, then you go to the minister and you confess your sins to him. Bring back Roman Catholicism here.
Yeah.
You go to the priest and confess your sins. You go to the minister and you can confess your sins. And then the minister, and they've got this ritual where it's basically a form of public humiliation in my books at this point. The minister, you go through this ritual, they call it a strophe. It's basically a punishment or discipline. You go through church discipline with them, where you confess your sins, you go through church discipline with them, which usually involves you either walking around to all the front bench members and getting admonished by them once or twice, and then getting up in church and saying you're sorry and you repent, and then the minister admonishes you, and then after, and you're considered forgiven if you go through that. If you go through that, your sins are forgiven, the church has purged you from your sins, they've been forgiven and taken away, and no one can bring it up again what you did wrong. They do not teach you have to forsake and repent. They teach, well, if somebody comes, their excuse is, well, if somebody comes and says they've done wrong, that's a sign they're repentant already. Well, no, confession is not repentance. Confession is a sign of repentance, but it is not repentance. Repentance is you forsaking your sin,
yeah,
not doing it anymore,
yeah,
changing your ways, not just you saying, yeah, I did it wrong, I shouldn't have.
Change your mind. Ahab, yeah, we preach the repentance as change your mind, of course, and then when you change your mind, you change your ways.
Repentance is godly sorrow is a sign of repentance,
yep,
but it is not in itself repentance. They don't teach true repentance.
Right.
If somebody actually, and this is bizarre, if somebody would repent, truly repent and come weeping for their sin, they would cut them off and cast them out.
That's crazy.
That's exactly. You're supposed to cut off the member that sins until they repent. If somebody repents, you don't cut them off and cast them away from you.
Yeah.
You help a repentant member. Yeah. But it's all backwards. And then this leads into the rituals of when you time goes for you to be baptized, you know, to go part of the member. Your sins are not forgiven you, and they teach baptism. Your sins are forgiven you when you get baptized, because the same way, you go to the minister and you tell him all of your sins. If you don't tell him a sin that you don't confess to the minister, you're not forgiven for.
Wow.
But you have to confess all of your sins, and then you go through the ritual, and then the church prays for you. And because the church prays for you, you confess them all, and you get baptized, you're forgiven.
So I have a question. A lot of Anabaptist bodies believe that when you're baptized, that's when you're born again. You enter the body of Christ or their church system, and a lot of them teach that's when you get the Holy Spirit. Is that with the Hutterites? Do they even mention born again? Do they even mention anything like that?
It's mentioned, but it's not the emphasis. It's mentioned in the official teachings and in the baptism, but it's not... Like, the baptism, basically, the official sermons teach that if you're not born again, we can pour Niagara Falls over your head and it's not going to help you anything, right? Unofficially, what is practiced is that you go get baptized, your sins are forgiven you, you're a brother in the church now, and yes, if you die as a brother like that, you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
Is there a form of saying born again? I don't right. know. You went to go. You ask them, are you born again? Most of them say, well, I'm baptized.
Yep, right. Yeah, when I witnessed Hutterites, you're right. That's what they always tell me. No matter what community is, they tell me, well, I got baptized.
Yeah, it's not. They don't teach the biblical gospel the way it's supposed to be. Baptism is you entering the body and you go through that ritual. Same thing with forgiveness of sins. When the time comes for you to take communion, same thing. Everybody lives the way they want to all year round. They do whatever they want to all year round, unless they do something that, again, in order for it to be dealt with, it has to be quite a heinous sin.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to be like adultery or murder or something extremely, it has to be quite a heinous sin.
Yeah.
Getting drunk, cursing, swearing, filthy talking, lack of love, gossip, slander, all of those things doesn't really matter that much. It's not that important. You basically, some of them have this idea that every evening when you hold your evening service and the minister kneels down and he prays for the sins of the whole church, you're cleansed of your daily sins right there.
Wow.
Because yep. The minister of the church prays for you, and because the church has the keys to bind and loose, through that you get forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, that sounds like Lutheranism. Lutheranism does that too. The pastor will say, by the power that God gives me, I now absolve you of all your sins.
Basically.
Yeah. Yep.
Basically. Some ministers actually say that when you go through it, and like, the church, God, and I forgive your sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
It's beyond heresy. It's blasphemy.
Yes.
And they go through these rituals where you live the way you want to, and some of them teach that every day through that daily prayer of the church, your sins are forgiven. Not all of them do that. Some of them do. Let me be clear on that.
Yeah.
But pretty much universally, they believe that come communion, come Easter time, they also only do that once a year at an appointed ritual date. More into that later. Everybody, 2 weeks before the appointed time, they go to the minister if they've done something. Some of them don't even bother going to the minister to confess their sins. They just all get up in church and they say, you know, I've done, sorry, I'm repentant, please forgive me.
It's what you do.
The minister kind of admonishes them. The minister admonishes them a little bit, and then they sit down. Well, now you're forgiven.
Yeah.
Now you're worthy to partake of the body and blood of Christ, regardless of how you live, because you did that. You're clean. Your sins are gone, and they will fight for that. Yeah. They would literally get angry with you if you say your sins are not forgiven. I confessed them. I went through that. You're not allowed to bring it up again.
Wow. Amazing.
Regardless of if they turn around and do it again. And the second point, that point leads into what was my third point. Third point is this. I read from my letter, basically. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. They teach that the church is a mediator between God and man. They teach that the church is the ark. They teach the church is the mother. to teach the church can intercede on your behalf. This is another major one. These first three points I tied together, they're kind of hand in hand with one another.
Right.
It's a false gospel, it's the corrupted forgiveness of sins, and to teach the church in the place of Christ. And this is a big one, because if you teach the church is the ark, then the Hadarai mindset is, if you're in the ark, what happened with all the people who were in the ark with Noah? Well, they got saved. If you were outside of the ark, you perished with the world. Yeah. We're in the ark. The church is the ark. God's church is his ark. If you're in the church, you're saved. They don't teach that Christ is the ark. I seriously rebuke them for that. Second, the church is a mediator. It can intercede on your behalf, because it's gotten the keys to bind and to loose, and it's got the Holy Spirit. And they quote, I'm not sure where it is here. I'd have to look that up. I have to look up where they say this. But
yeah, it does sound a lot like Roman Catholicism, definitely.
It is. They're basically, Roman Catholics sound a different name. I don't know where the verse is here, but where Jesus basically gave his disciples the Holy Spirit, they completely twist that out of context.
Right, yeah.
It says the church is now the mediator and has the power to forgive your sins. It's the ark. The church is the mother. That's another big one. They twist Ephesians, where he says, the great is the mystery, two shall be one flesh, great is the mystery, speak of Christ and his church. And they twist that, and I'm like, nah. The scripture says we are the bride of Christ. We're not his wife.
Yeah.
We're waiting for the bridegroom to come.
Right. Amen.
He hasn't come yet. Keep ourselves pure, spotless, and blameless, a pure virgin, undefiled for him when he comes.
Yep.
We're not the mother. And because the church is the mother, and again, here's another parallel link between them and the Roman Catholics. The Roman Catholics worship Mary, the mother, and they ask her to intercede on their behalf for forgiveness of sins. They worship, even if they're not going to admit it, they worship the mother church, and she intercedes on their behalf before God.
Yeah, it's total. It is total idolatry. I don't care if it's Mennonites, Hutterites, Amish. It's total idolatry, as I talked about. They cling to their own traditions, their own church systems, like the Israelites in the desert with the golden calf. They lift up their own way and say, we'll fashion gods to ourselves. These men have said, we'll fashion a religious body and traditions of ourselves.
Yes, and that was a big one, because it's blasphemy.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ is our ark, he is our salvation, he is our only way, he is our hope. Our sins are forgiven through it. We did 1 John 1 yesterday. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Yeah.
They don't even teach the blood of Christ. This is blasphemy.
Yeah.
This isn't just heresy. This is blasphemy.
Hey, I do have a question for you real quick. I'll hold your train of thought. Along this, you just said something. They don't teach the blood of Christ. That's another big, big, big thing I see in the Anabaptists, like you and I have talked about, followers of the way in Boston that I've exposed, and they are always abrogating the blood of Christ, and it's not really the gospel. The gospel is repent and come to the kingdom of God. I do have a question for you. The Hutterites, are they Sermon on the Mount centered as much as like some of the other Anabaptists, or is that not so much?
That's a little tricky to answer, because if you go to their old writings way back when, yes, they were very Sermon on the Mount centered. Nowadays, most of the Sermon on the Mount would condemn them.
Yeah, I get
they're
you.
Some of the more, you could call it, even the followers of the way, they're complete heretics. I agree with you.
Yeah.
They're wrong. And if any Anabaptist is listening, those men are 100% against the Word of God in a lot of what they do, and you need to really test them to the Word of God. Just because they say Anabaptist forefathers does not mean that they are anything like what the Anabaptists that you supposedly revere or like.
Amen.
But anyways, those Anabaptist follower of the way type, they might have a conviction. They could claim to have a conviction about the Sermon on the Mount and following it. Most of the modern Hutterites don't. Their main focus is community money.
Right.
Going through financially. That's 90% not right.
Followers of the way are working up to that. They're building up their Sattler corporation and their followers of the way bodies to where they can be like a Hutterite type community and lifting all those things above. But yeah, they definitely, I just heard a sermon from them, and they definitely demean the blood of Christ and say that the gospel good news is repent. the kingdom has come. That's what they literally call the good news. And, you know, Jesus dying for your sins, yeah, that had to happen. But the good news is the gospel that you can enter the kingdom of God. So they do have a lot of similarities. I was curious if the Hutterites are Sermon on the Mount. I didn't think they were so much anymore.
Not so much. And for me, this kind of has become a litmus test of a gospel. The blood of Christ is everything. It's what overcomes. It's how we overcome. We overcome, how does the Revelation say it? By the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And the word of our testimony. Any gospel, any group that does not lift up and proclaim and revere the blood of Christ the way it should has apostatized from the word of God and is teaching a false gospel. Because if you have any gospel that's outside the blood of Christ, you have nothing to forgive your sins. You have nothing to conquer death. You have nothing to pacify the wrath of the Father. You are still in your sins and you're still under wrath.
You mean I can't just repent, enter the kingdom of God on earth, and go to one of their embassies, like they call their local bodies the embassy, and I just get baptized there and now I'm in? Not how it works?
Nope.
You're opening the door. You're opening the door for a street preacher. I'm always out there preaching Christ crucified. And I tell people all the time, Apostle Paul, go look at the gospel he preached, starting with 1 Corinthians 15. Everywhere he preached the gospel. I got to say this, Anabaptists are listening. I got an article on this on the teaching blog. Not one place does Apostle Paul ever use the term that they love to use, gospel of the kingdom. Not once. He never uses that term once. Jesus uses it, I think, 5 or 6 times. Paul, everywhere he preaches the gospel, since he was given the mystery and he came after Christ is resurrected, Paul preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as my brother Zello said, if your gospel, Anabaptists, don't lead with, rest on, and is not all about Christ crucified and his shed blood, you have a false gospel that will not save you.
Amen, because the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from sin. What cleanses you from your sin if you don't have that? Just ponder that.
Amen.
The fourth point I called them out on is could basically be 10 points in itself. I called them out for apostasy, basically. I called them out for, number one, that they do not do anything whatsoever to preach the gospel. They don't care about building the kingdom of God and spreading the gospel. They only preach in their own churches in one language, by the way. Among some of the more liberal Schmiedleut. Now, the Schmiedleut, by the way, there's 3 groups. The Schmiedleut group is split into 2 groups, but that's another story entirely. But anyways, among the more liberal ones, they'll preach in English now. Among the Hutterites, you don't, especially if you're a minister, they will actually discipline ministers for talking about the word of God in English.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. Think about that. German, nothing wrong with German. It's a good language. I like it. It's very descriptive. But if you're going to discipline people for speaking about the gospel in another language, you got a problem.
When we live in nations, Canada or America, that speak 99.9999% of the people speak English, and they're going to discipline you for using English rather than German, which nobody speaks German.
Yeah, but your people speak German. That's my point. They only preach to their own, only in their churches.
Yeah.
Only at appointed times, only for certain lengths, in comfortable stuffed pews. You should see some of the pews. You could sleep in them. That's how comfortable they are. And most of them probably do sleep through a lot of the church services.
And I can back up your testimony. I know you lived through it. I have witnessed Hutterite men and other Anabaptists, and I've said to them, do you care that your neighbors are dying and going to hell in Catholic churches, Lutheran churches, just your neighbor walking down the street, and you guys just labor to make money and then go down to Pinecraft, their little Anabaptist social club, and you don't care about reaching your neighbor? I said, do you care they're dying and go to hell? I have had men say to me, no, I don't care one bit. I just live my life. They literally have told me they don't care about their neighbors dying and going to hell.
Yep, that was the point that I called them out on this one. They don't care about going out, like, keeping the command of Jesus and teach all nations and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. They don't care. They just sit and work for money. And the money they do make, they don't care about spreading the kingdom or helping the poor or the sick or the needy around them. The only thing they want to do is buy more land, cows, or live in greater luxury while their fellow men are basically starving and dying.
Yeah.
And going to hell.
And growing in their gluttony. I noticed gluttony is a big problem. You mentioned it in the Anabaptist places. Both men and women, a lot of gluttony going on.
Oh yeah, that's one point I had in here too. Basically, if you would go to Hutterite Kitchen, the average kitchen, and look at what they throw out as slop, you would probably get angry. You could probably feed half a nation with what they toss in the garbage.
Wow.
They live as basically only the richest could, in the complete lack of luxury. And I call them out for this, that basically they're building another Tower of Babel, where they're trying to build and make, work together and build their own way into heaven outside of Christ and his gospel.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
I basically called them out in the fact that the church is called the house of God. The ecclesia is called the house of God in scriptures. And we say we're the house of God in the church. And we've turned this into a business to make money.
Yep.
Jesus basically made a whip and said his house is a house of prayer, and we made it into den of seeds of buying and selling. And then I also called him out on that.
John 2.
I told him, we say we're the Gemeinschaft. We say we're the community of the saints. We have all things in common after the manner of the apostles. We're living at the height of Christianity here. We love each other so much that we have all things in common. We only care for each other, not for the things of ourselves. And ask them, so if you're this community and you hold to your own doctrines, why are you buying and selling to each other and making a profit on it? Yeah. Brother Tupos, can you imagine me selling you something and making a profit off of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's
what kind of brotherly love would that be?
That's amazing.
Especially if we're supposed to be teaching and practicing community of goods the way the Hutterites supposedly do. They don't care about their own doctrines anymore.
Yeah, well, what can you say about Anabaptists today when some of the most popular ones like Finney Kuravilla from Followers of the Way can sit on $8 billion of people's investments and then tell you, you should give away your second tunic if you have one? Well, he's a multi-millionaire. And I hear Anabaptists, I bring him up, I hear all types of Anabaptists defend him. And so, yeah, the Hutterites are going to defend their lavish, Sodom-like lifestyle, aren't they?
Yeah, and then basically, here's a good one that I also called him out on. They do nothing whatsoever to preach or spread the gospel.
Yeah.
Nothing. They don't care. And when you ask them, you know what they'll tell you? And they told me that, why aren't you a missionary here? Why don't you preach the gospel here among our own people? And I had this right in my letter. This is a heartbreaking tragedy that the Church of Christ should need people to tell it the truth and show it the way to live.
Well, they definitely needed a prophet-like man. I always tell people that the street preacher is not a prophet, but he does a prophet's job. They definitely need a prophet-like person to walk in there, and they're claiming Christ to call them to repentance from all their heresy, wickedness, and sin. No doubt about that. That's what you were trying to do.
Yes, I called them out that basically, probably every Anabaptist you've talked to has said this to you, if I'm right, but like, we preach without words, with our lifestyle, you know?
Yep, yep.
And like, what does the scripture say? Faith cometh by hearing.
Yep,
but
yep.
Anyways, like I said, again, the Spirit and the Bride say come. If we're the Bride, as we say, why do we not call all men to come?
Yeah.
And I called them gluttony in this one. I called them out for living in debts. Here's something a lot of people don't know if they know.
Re-say that. I want to make sure everybody says that. What's the next point? Everybody hears that. What was the next point?
This is part of this. I called them out for living in debt.
Oh, living in debt. Gotcha.
They borrow millions of dollars to buy huge farms and more land so that they can make more money and live richer. And the Bible tells us, owe no man anything to
wow.
live in debt.
Wow. I didn't even realize that. I mean, I guess I figured that...
They live a lavish lifestyle, extremely luxurious, and a lot of it. I bet you, if there's, let's say there's 600 colonies, I'm willing to bet you're not going to find 50 of them that don't have debt. Extreme debt, like more than $1 million in debt.
Wow. That's amazing.
I called him out on it because, as far as I'm concerned, Scripture says, "Oh, no man anything." Believers, to the best of our ability, shouldn't have been indebted to the world.
And the sad part, you're exposing is, not that I would ever condone any kind of debt like that, they're not even striving, let's talk about the parable of the talent, the talents, they're not even striving to increase what God gave them for the kingdom of God. They're striving to increase for their corrupt, false, apostate ark that doesn't exist called the Hutterite community. That's what they're striving for.
Yeah, and they've basically, I called them out for that too, they've turned the church into a corporation and a business.
Yeah. Amen.
Turn the bride of Christ into... I said that this got a lot of people mad with me. I told them, you've turned the bride of Christ into the whore of Babylon.
Wow. Wow, but true.
Because it's true, they've done it, and I explained it, that we're no longer the pure bride of Christ, keeping herself unspotted from the world, living in holiness and purity for God and for Christ. We've turned into the whore of Babylon, committing whoredoms with the world. We're not showing men that we need to separate and be separate and live a holy life for the kingdom of God. We're showing them that we're going to be a business and we're going to make more money and we're going to compete against our neighbors and we're going to compete against each other and we're going to be a corporation.
Yeah, you know something just struck me. We just studied on a concept, and I know a lot of people listening, like if people from the world or people from denominational circles would listen to this and go, oh, the Mennonites and the Amish and, you know, the Hutterites, we know they're so humble and they're so meek and they're so focused on the kingdom of God. They are not poor in spirit, are they, brother?
No, they are not, because I called them out on it in here somewhere too. I don't have the exact line here, but you compete, you say you love your neighbors, and you will compete against them. You have enough to eat, you have enough that you're thriving and prospering, you have enough that you could have 10 other people out, and you compete against your neighbors, who you're supposed to love and be a light to, and you compete, and for example, in buying land, you drive up the price to the point where the guy with the 3 kids and a quarter of land who needs a little more to feed his family can't buy this quarter of land to support his family because you wanted more, because, oh, again, they're extremely arrogant in this, because they are the ark, they are the church, they are the way to salvation. They're so arrogant and prideful in that they think that they have the right to mistreat anybody outside of their church body as being inferior to them, because that person is not a part of the body as we are. It's very arrogant, very prideful, very competitive, the opposite of poor in spirit.
Yeah, and you know what? All this stuff you're saying, I have been proclaiming, not in detail like you, because you're an eyewitness right inside of it. I've been proclaiming this about the Anabaptists for years, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to make this offer here, and we're going to make it at the end. Any man that comes and says, this is not true, these things these men are saying are not true against the Anabaptists, I don't care if you're Mennonite, Amish, German Baptist, Hutterite, we will give them an invite to come and do just this. We'll get on messenger video, we'll get on the phone. They can come and refute us in the Word of God. So far in my years, no one will do it. And in my brother's ministry, his short time, even though this is brand new, no one will do it. We're going to give them, at the end of this, and on the testing I'm doing about the Raymore Hutterites, we're going to give them an opportunity to come forward and bring your voice, and you rebuke us, refute us, and then we'll give an answer. Amen, brother?
Amen. The fifth point that I called them out on was the way they've corrupted baptism. So the way the Hutterites baptize is they've turned it into a ritual completely outside of God's word. You're not going to find one word of this in Scripture at all. So what happens is when you decide you want to get baptized, I've already kind of alluded to, you kind of have to more or less live a lifestyle that isn't causing too many problems. You go to the minister and you tell him, my brother, I have a heartfelt longing to make up a covenant with God and his people. Right then and there, I would call them out, because Scripture never says baptism is a covenant with God and his people. That's on them, but that's the steps you go to. He asks the church basically says yes, then you go for 7 weeks, sometimes it's 6 weeks, depending on the church, every Sunday after the church service, you make your rounds to all of those guys sitting on the front bench there. Front bench. That looks so ridiculous looking back now. But anyways, you make your rounds to all of them, and they admonish you according to their ability. And I'll just be honest, the ability that I was admonished to would probably make you wonder why these people call themselves Christians, because the word of God wasn't used, and some of them were spewing pure heresy.
Yeah.
But anyway, you get admonished, and then after, and in the meantime, you're given booklets to memorize. One of them is questions and answers, and the other one is sort of like a prayer. And you memorize this, and then when the time comes to be baptized, it's only ever once a year. Maybe sometimes they might make an exception, but generally it's only once a year that you can be baptized at this point, in this order, only in this way. They're very hardly never, like, a minister, when I gave my letter, one minister I know of, one for sure, who had this reaction. What are we supposed to do? Baptize people here and there everywhere? I'm like, you're supposed to be a minister, and it would bother you to have to baptize somebody who wants to come to Christ? I'm sorry, you don't know what you're saying. Or maybe you're doing your debt.
Sounds like an inconvenience keeping me from enjoying my life of luxury and making money.
Yeah, kind of. But anyways, so you go through this, and at the end of the 7 weeks of making your rounds, you go, the whole church comes together, and then you recite what you memorized. And if you did a really good job, and I was there, I did that. If you put in a lot of effort, and that is seen as the amount of effort or how far much somebody wants this. If they put a lot of effort into it, that means they did it. That's what everybody talks about at baptism. How nice everybody recited those things. And it's basically the minister asks you a question from the book, and you recite the answer. And then he asks you another question from the book, and you recite an answer. And then you recite the long prayer in order. And then the next day comes baptism time, where you basically, there's a long sermon, and then you get on your knee, and then they ask you a few questions, like, I don't know them all off the top of my head anymore, maybe I should have written them down, but they kind of ask you questions like, do you want to follow Jesus? Do you want to basically desire to live a new life? Do you actually desire to leave sin and forsake the world and all of that? Then you say yes, and then you get on your knees before the church, and right there in the middle, you get on the knees, and then he asks you more questions, like, do you basically make a vow, a bond, what in German, the covenant, whatever, do you promise to uphold the church and never to forsake it until death? Do you promise that you will never forsake the communion, the community, and the brotherhood, and that you will build it and use discipline on others and accept it when it is used on you? Do you desire to never more willfully sin and not to be silent to sin until death? And things like that they ask you. And you set up these vows before the whole congregation. You get up and you walk around and you give all the brothers the handshake and the kiss of peace, and all the sisters just the handshake. And now you're a brother. This is 100% against everything taught in the Word of God.
First of all, the Word of God says, hold that thought. I'm going to start a new audio.